leave it to the Lutheran Church to want all the discarded crap from evangelicalism and evangelical worship, jumping on that boat at the moment evangelicals are leaving it.
Craig Parton, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it's my generation, the baby boomer generation, that frankly needs to die to leave all these entertainment orientation, market orientation, me orientation. What can the church do for me today? That kind of perspective in the Lutheran churches, which is really needs to be extirpated in some way.
You can listen to Craig Parton's presentation, Making the Case Against Lutherans Imitating Evangelicals, on an audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
We've won the gay marriage battle. Are we now going to neuter the First Amendment for people who still disagree with us?
I think it's always a temptation for us as Christians to want to find some sort of ideological system or economic system that will make us completely comfortable in our skin in this fallen world.
A Bible sermon is one in which the preacher is giving us information. So they're telling us about roads in Palestine. They're telling us about cultures. But that is not necessarily for me.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steelworker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
What harm could it possibly do? Doesn't the church, don't faithful pastors, don't Christian congregations, don't they want to see people studying the Bible? And, well, if the Bible study comes from somebody like Beth Moore or Rick Warren and his whatever he's trying to sell lately, or from Willow Creek Association and whatever they're trying to push lately, or maybe even Bible Study Fellowship, very popular generic Bible study format out there, at least they're studying the Bible. And how could it possibly hurt them to study the Bible, regardless of what kind of a Bible study it is or what its focus is? We hear this a lot. Is it possible that some Bible study can actually be dangerous, detrimental to faith? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is going to join us here for the first half hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to talk about, well, some of the dangers of Bible study a little bit later. The Smalcaldic War began on this day in 1546, and it is woven into the history of the Lutheran Reformation, the Christian Reformation in the 16th century. Dr. Martin Noland will review some of the history for us a little bit later. We're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Ordinarily, he is with us for our Christ in the Old Testament series. Today, he's going to be with us to answer the question, is Islam actually a Christian heresy? Not a Christian sect or denomination, but a heresy of Christianity. We'll look at the historical case there. Deaconess Elizabeth Allman will join us to talk about the Old Testament matriarch Ruth. Ruth is remembered on the 16th of July. And Dr. Matt Phillips will also mark another point in history for us. The Christian Crusaders seized Jerusalem on this date in the first Christian Crusade, called the First Crusade, in 1099. That's his area of expertise. We'll find out what that was all about and what the Christian Crusades were about a little bit later here on Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Marshall, Michigan, and he made a presentation at last week's Higher Things Youth Conference called The Danger of Non-Lutheran Bible Studies. Anthony, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd.
Nowadays, you got your pick. You got Beth Moore. You got the ever-popular Bible Study Fellowship, whatever Rick Warren or Willow Creek or any of the other many publishing enterprises out there are pushing in terms of congregational Bible study. Someone says, look, Pastor, at least the people are in Bible study. What could possibly be the danger of a Bible study like that?
Yeah. See, those people at least will acknowledge that there's something wrong with them, but hey, what's the big deal? And one of my first responses is usually, well, is it okay that you have just a little bit of poison? I mean, is that all right with you? Because as we understand it, I mean, just because Jesus' name is talked about, just because, boy, the Bible is used, does not make it harmless. I mean, we cannot just be happy to live in a world where, as long as the vocables of Jesus' name are invoked, then, well, the theology is okay. No, if the theology presented is false, right? If it is false theology, then it does not lead us toward salvation, but away from it, right? Because it leads us away from the one thing that all of Scripture is structured around, the one thing that all of Scripture is trying to teach us and drive us to, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. So we instead pray that God would root out all heresy, that he would rid us of false teachers, not that we would embrace them, not that we would be so arrogant even to think that we can overcome those false teachings. We must flee from them, because at the end of the day, boy, they can give us a false comfort or a Christianity that is simply without Christ. We might be a moral person and all at the end of the day, but it is detrimental, dangerous, as I would say, to our salvation.
So is there a kind of unrecognized presupposition in that question I asked you at first? You know, what could possibly be the harm of Beth Moore, Rick Warren, or any of these other Bible studies to a Christian congregation? Is there an unstated presupposition that false teaching doesn't hurt people, that it's essentially neutral?
There is this false presupposition. And what it misunderstands is we do this actually in the Lutheran Church. We like to hold up sola scriptura, right? Scripture alone as this this wonderful charge of the Reformation, and it is it is for us. It is this this rule of faith, we call it. I mean, it means it is the standard of all truth for us. As the Solid Declaration states, it is the only true standard or norm by which all teachers and doctrines are to be judged. So we get this. We say that every article of the faith, every bit of doctrine, must be based upon the Word of God alone. And we like to hold this kind of up as our flag, right? Scripture alone, not tradition, not human reasoning, not emotional experience, but Scripture. And unfortunately, there's this missing presupposition that, because we have Scripture, then the interpretation of Scripture is okay. It kind of misses that part of how do we interpret Scripture? Just because you have Scripture does not ensure that Scripture is going to be understood properly, because Lutherans are not the only ones claiming scriptural authority. We might contend differently about our views on the inspiration of Scripture, but we have to recognize at the end of the day that Lutherans are not interpreting Scripture in the same way that everyone else is.
Now, I guess kind of picking up on a further objection, maybe it's a variation on the one that I raised at first, and that is, let's just take Beth Moore, for example. Someone will say, well, sure. Yeah, now that you've pointed out to me, Beth Moore is she's essentially a legalist, and she gets that one doctrine, justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone. She gets that one pretty wrong. But isn't there other good things that she says? Aren't there other some things that we can glean from her books and still use her Bible studies, even if she gets justification a little backward?
even in that question, there's a misunderstanding of the point of all of Scripture. If you get justification wrong, you get everything wrong. It's justification is it's not just the entire content, but it's the entire purpose of all of Scripture. So if you get this one article wrong, there's nothing you can get right. At the end of the day, well, you might become a good moral person, but what good is that going to do you? There's going to be lots of good moral people in hell. I mean, if at least if we're talking in terms of our worldly standards of what is moral and what is not. But we're not reading Scripture. We're not reading the texts of the Old Testament, even in all those different stories, as stories in and of themselves. We must always read them through the cross. They drive us to Christ, and we understand them in Christ. Otherwise, these stories of the Old Testament really are void of any eternal meaning. So we want to rest secure within the cross. We never stray from it. Luther said it clearly. He confessed, "The cross alone is our theology," and so that's what we hold to. That everything is held together in Jesus, and in not just in Jesus, but in what He has done and the redemptive act of salvation for mankind upon the cross. So that centrality of the crucifix event is what helps us to understand not just the danger of non-Lutheran Bible studies, but also helps us to understand the point of reading the Bible in the first place. As John will say in chapter 20 of his gospel, that these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, the 15th of July. We're talking about some of the dangers of Bible studies that get it wrong. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Marshall, Michigan, and he made a presentation at last week's Higher Things Youth Conference titled "The Danger of Non-Lutheran Bible Studies." I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique, so why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The substitute organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the substitute organist service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Truth, faith seems quenched on every hand.
the first stanza of a hymn penned by 16th century reformer Martin Luther, "O Lord, look down from heaven, behold." We're talking about the danger of Bible studies that miss the point of the Bible. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is our guest. Pastor Voltatorne, before the break, you were talking about that principle of sola scriptura, scripture alone. Does that mean that every Bible passage, every verse in the Bible is of equal importance?
Right. Not at all, actually. I think most people are kind of shocked by this, to talk about scripture as not having equal value, but it really doesn't. And it's not to try to slight or trivialize any part of scripture. It's actually just the opposite. We hold as primary the article of faith that scripture holds primary, and that is the other sola that is often just left out of these Reformation solas: grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. The other one is Christ alone. So John says it, you know, that these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. But to kind of understand it a little bit more simply is that we don't want to just think of Jesus' death and resurrection or the Gospels even as just one story among many in the Bible. We don't do this even in the liturgy, right? We stand when the Gospel is read. We stand when we're about to hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize even physically that these words are important, and so not all Scripture has equal value at all. It kind of sounds, I think, scandalous to us, because we want to hold God's sovereignty as the main principle of theology, but it's not. The main principle of theology is the doctrine of justification.
So you're saying, while all Scripture is equally authoritative, it's all equally true, it's all equally inspired,
right,
not all its teachings stand equal. There is an organizing doctrine in Scripture to which all others are connected, by which all others are connected: justification.
Yes. Even our confessions will do this. Our confessions are structured around the article of justification and continually pointing us to it. So you have this in the small cult articles that it talks about how the articles that refer to the office and work of Jesus Christ, referring to that as the very heart of the Lutheran confessions. And then again, throughout the small called Luther explains how this teaching of justification functions to interpret Scripture. The Apology says that it is the chief topic of Christian doctrine, providing clear, correct understanding of the entire Scriptures. The right knowledge of Christ and alone opens the door to the entire Bible. So we understand Scripture in terms of justification is not simply being the most important article, but is that upon which all the articles depend. So it's not just that Jesus is the center of our theology. He's the entire content. It's all about him. So we can't say that certain parts of Scripture are more important or even of equal value than the texts which are explicitly stating the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can see this a little bit too, I think, in children's Bibles of the Reformed tradition, where you look in children's Bibles where the theology is just extremely clear. And boy, I've got some here in my office where Good Friday is left out entirely, because it's just one story among many in their mind, in many people's mind, at least. Instead, this is the whole point of it all. We simply don't want to read Scripture if we're not seeing Jesus on every page of it.
So that's why you said before, when I asked the Beth Moore question, that she gets justification backward. That's why you said, well, she may say, well, you know, Adam and Eve were literal people. She gets all the facts right. She is not going to be able except by some sort of amazing inconsistency, rightly interpret any of Scripture if she gets justification wrong.
Right, right. If you don't see Jesus' death on the cross for the sins of the world as the center and essence of Scripture, then what is reading the Bible do? If you don't begin and end the theological task with Jesus, if you don't see him everywhere and are just reading Scripture being saturated in Jesus' blood, then what are we to do? The sinner, when the sinner's weary by his sin and tries to understand Scripture, when he tries to wrestle with some bit of comfort and peace, opening the Bible and just pining through it to find some peace from his sin, without our theology and our reading of Scripture running through the cross, then the gospel simply is not grasped. We have this teaching for our benefit that we might hold and rest in the doctrine of justification, because we want the burdened conscience to be able to have some comfort and not have the impression that I'm reading the Bible and therefore I'm Christian and therefore I'm pleasing God or whatever. I'm growing in my ability to please him, so therefore, everything's okay. No, that's a false comfort. We don't want to give people a Christianity without Christ. We don't want to make people just moral. When people read the Old Testament, we want them to see Christ in all of it. Otherwise, we have these wonderful texts of Scripture that if we're not interpreting them in light of Christ, then all we have is a moral lesson. Jonah disobeyed God and he was punished, so you shouldn't disobey him either, otherwise God's going to punish you. Or make sure that you listen to God when he's calling, something like that. I mean, that's all we can get out of it, other than a nice story. But what good is that going to do us except, make us moral, like I said? But Jesus did not take on human flesh to make people moral. He did so to ransom us from sin, death, and the devil with his blood, right? To save us from the stomach of death's belly by entering into it himself. So therefore, we must always rest and fall back upon the cross and Jesus' death there on our behalf.
So are we saying here, putting this all together, that a bad Bible study, even though the Bible's open, the passages are being looked at, except by, in spite of the teaching that's being put there, with that exception, is going to do more harm than good. It may well rob people. It may well go so far as to rob people of faith in Christ, such a Bible study.
That danger is absolutely evident. A lot of people, I think, would argue, well, can't you just, won't the text of Holy Scripture just, do its job in its own, in its own right? We even look at, Luther, right? Luther looked and read Romans 1:17 and, was actually struck by the gospel, and therefore, his eyes were opened. Can't that happen also in a non-Lutheran Bible study? My inclination is to really speak against that, because Luther himself was one who was broken down by the law. He was not, rather, an individual like these in these in a non-Lutheran Bible study, Beth Moore or Rick Warren or something. He's not one who is actually forcibly rejecting the doctrine of justification. He's not someone who gets the point of all Scripture wrong. He was already, the law had already tilled the soil of his heart and was ready for the gospel. Whereas these non-Lutheran Bible studies that are just full of heresy are really hardening that path of soil onto which God's word is set, so that it makes it all the more easier for the murderous beak of the devil to snatch that seed away. And so we simply want to rest in Christ. We don't want to talk about reading Scripture apart from Him. These non-Lutheran Bible studies, you know, they might be reading Scripture, but they are actually in danger of hardening that false teaching upon the hearts of its hearers. So this is these are the things that we want to flee. We want to stand up and shout, no, this is false. You know, I will cling only to my Savior. And as you know, Christ or Luther said that God can be found only in suffering in the cross. So also do we confess this to be true as well, that we don't want to find God outside of the cross. That's not where He is, being God for us. And so we rest in this. The cross alone is our theology statement, or Christ alone, solus Christus.
Finally, with a couple minutes here, Pastor Voltatorne, we heard before the first stanza of that Luther hymn, O Lord, look down from heaven, behold. And you tell a story from 1527 about encountering false teaching, how that hymn came into play, in particular the words, May God root out all heresy and false teachers, and of false teachers rid us, who proudly say, Now where is he that shall our speech forbid us, etc. Tell us that story, and you say that we need to regain this kind of sharp, unequivocal language against false teaching from the Bible. Tell us this
right.
story.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story that, you know, Martin Luther wrote that hymn, which is sadly not in the LSB, but is in our beloved TLH, which we still use here at Zion, and is it speaks quite sharply against false doctrine. But there was this instance in 1527 where a visiting priest came to Brunswick, Germany, where he was there to preach, And in his sermon, he began to praise the saving virtue of good works. But the laity knew better. And there was this layman by the name of Hennig Rischau, if I pronounced that right. And he spoke up during that awful sermon and said, he yelled out in a loud voice in the middle of the sermon, Father, you are lying. And then in the face of that false teaching, he began to sing this hymn from Luther that's based on Psalm 12. O Lord, look down from heaven, behold, and let thy pity waken. How few are we within the fold, thy saints by men forsaken. And it even goes on in stanza 3, may God root out all heresy and of false teachers rid us. So this layman stood up and began to sing, and the whole congregation joined in. We need to be able to speak out against false doctrine. I know it sounds unloving to some and to others, you know, who might attack us. In the face of them, we might feel shy about saying that something is either right or wrong. But salvation certainty is not a manifestation of one's perspective. And instead, all of Scripture is proclaiming our redemption and salvation, the revelation of who God really is, how He wants to deal with us at the cross. And so from the beginning to the end of all of Scripture, it is revealing no one besides the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, you know, if we are to avoid false doctrine in our own Christian lives, if we are to avoid it in our church, if we are to avoid it in Bible studies, because they lead us away from our salvation, away from Christ, if we are to comfort the sinner who suffers under the burden of his sin and speak about God simply in any way, speak about Scripture, any passage of Scripture, then we must turn only to God's Son, Jesus Christ, and Him as the one crucified on our behalf. We point to Him, we preach Him alone. We look at Him strung up in death on the scaffold of the cross, and this for the sins of all men. And so we confess with Luther proudly, the cross alone is our theology.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Marshall, Michigan. He made a presentation at last week's Higher Things Youth Conference titled The Danger of Non-Lutheran Bible Studies. Pastor Voltatorne, thank you very much. Keep up the good work, if you would, right there in Marshall, Michigan.
My pleasure. Thanks, John.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Martin Noland. He actually mentioned a few minutes ago the small called articles. Now they have an indirect relationship to a war you probably didn't study in high school history, the small Caldic War, but it figures rather prominently into the course of history that we call the Lutheran Reformation. On this day in 1546, that war, the small Caldic War, began. We'll find out what it was about and what role it played in the Reformation in the 16th century. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.